about the presence of the Lord. And a lot of things happened to the nation of Israel. And it says in 1 Corinthians 10:6, the things that happened to them were an example that we should not lust after the things that they lusted after. And there's many, many examples in the Old Testament for us as we look at the nation of Israel. And sometimes we don't pick up on the things that God wants us to pick up on about an example. But as we look at these verses and enjoy in the presence of God, worship is enjoying God's presence. And if we want to have a revival, and you want to have a revival in your heart, a church revival, a nation revival, a family revival, revival is just the presence of God showing up in your life and being real to you. The highest good and the most greatest fulfillment and the deepest pleasure and the deepest need is to know God personally. When we do, we have attained that what we was created for, and that is to worship the Lord. The background of these two chapters, we'll be covering several verses maybe, and the background in these two chapters is Moses led the children of Israel out of bondage to Mount Sinai. It didn't take them too long to get there, a few months maybe. And Moses went up to the mountain. God says, come on up. I want to give you something. And we know that Moses hewed out two stones, went up on the mountain, stayed 30 days with God, and God gave him the Ten Commandments. Moses coming back down from the mountain, been gone a good while. We know that the children of Israel forgot pretty quick how God had led them out, and they began to have the pleasures and worship a golden calf that they made, and old Aaron made and fashioned. They began to worship them and said, look what brought us out of this bondage, this golden calf did. Moses threw those stones down and broke them, and he went in intercession for God's people. And after it was over with, God spared the people. He said, go back up on the mountain, have two more tables of stones ready. I will give you the two more tables of stone. So in these verses of scriptures, in chapter 33, on down through verse 1 through 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of Egypt, land of Egypt, and to the land which I swear unto Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out all the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. What did they hear? They heard that God said, I'll send an angel, but I will not go up in thy midst. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you here this day and for the understanding. If we really want your presence, Father, we got to do what the nation of Israel did. Father, for the presence of God to go with us, and Lord, how that we need the presence of God on our life today. That's all we really need. Father, what a revival we would have in our personal life. What a revival, a change in family life that we have never seen change before. Father, in our church life, we'll have the greatest revival this church has ever had. For a national revival, Lord, what it would be if God, the presence of God, would show up on the scenes of this country. Oh, how bad that we need a revival, Father. Because we need your presence. We need to be conscious of your presence. But Father, there's some things that we must do if we really desire your presence to show up in our life this day. But Father, we just thank you, Lord, and all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and amen. As the nation of Israel, so the Christian today, we do not have the conscious presence of God in our lives as we should. Sometimes, you know, we'll come to church once in a while if it's convenient. And you see, we might even sing a little bit once in a while and, you know, might muster out an amen. But there's a deadness on most Christians. There's a blindness and there's a dryness really in the void in our life. Saved on the way to heaven, but there's something that's just missing. is missing his example to this nation that we're living in, to our personal life, to our family life, and also to our church life in the verses I've just read in this background. Today we have possessions and we have protections of the nation Israel had just like we have in this country. God has given us great possessions in this country. God has given us great protection in this country. And you here today, you are a blessed person. You have a lot of blessing that God has given you possessions that other people do not have. You have these protections that other countries do not have. But there's still a sadness because, you see, we really don't have the presence in our life. And that shows up in our church life. When we settle for success without the Lord, you will fail miserably or you will succeed more miserably. In a family or in a business life, whatever it might be, God said, I will give them protection as they go into the promised land. I will give them provisions, but I'm not going with them. Thank you for Moses. Christian today, you talk to Christians and they say, well, I'm saved. That's good. I have eternal security. I'm going to heaven. I am going to heaven, but I just don't have this victory. God is just not real in my life. I do not have the manifestation of the presence of God in my life. And I'm afraid that's where a lot of people, including myself, is at today. We have the Holy Spirit of God. I wish you'd have been here a Wednesday night. You know, if you'd have been here Wednesday night, we had 72 people. If you'd have been here, we'd have had 73. We had a good many people, and I appreciate all the ones who are here. But that's what we talk about, the Spirit of God that lives with us. But there's also a difference of the presence of God that we have in our life all the time. Don't ever think just because that you have provisions and you have protection that you're all right with God. This country had provisions. You know what? We're the greatest and the richest country on the face of this earth. You know, we got more provision and we got more protection with our military and our might than any other country on the face of this earth. But don't think just because the nation Israel is saying, well, just because they had provision, they had protection, don't think they're all right with God. And I tell you, don't think that you're all right with God in this country either. Just because sometimes people call us a Christian nation, because we do not have the presence of God in people's lives today. If we did, we wouldn't have this bunch in Washington running things that are running, because people will not vote for them. They would not be there. We need the presence of God. You can tell in our church life and our family life. What made Israel different than all the people of the world? Was they just a good group of people? I mean, they was the people that God chose, but what made them different? What made the nation of Israel different than all the people of the world? What it was a manifestation of the presence of God in the midst of them. What makes Christians God's chosen people? Because we're good? Because we go to church? Because we're good moral people? What makes us different than the lost people of the world? The manifest presence of God in our life. What made this nation the greatest nation on the face of this earth? Good American people? No. For over 200 years, God's presence has saw through all of our military power and everything else. God's presence on this country has made us different than all countries of the world except the nation of Israel. It said for us to watch this, and for it must be an example for us. If you won't hear today as a Christian, you know you're saved, you know you go into heaven, you know you got eternal security, you say, are you satisfied with that? Is that all it takes to satisfy you? If it is, you're falling by the wayside just like the nation of Israel, because they was glad to have that. But Moses was not satisfied. Moses said, you know, that God said, I'm not going with you. I promised you I'd give you this land flow of milk and honey, and God will not fall back on his promise. I'll give it to you, and I'll give you protection, and I will give you provision, but I'm not going with you. I send an angel to go with you. You know what Moses said? I'm fixing to get this in just a moment. He said, listen, if you're not going with us, I don't want to go. And we ought to be satisfied that with God. I want your presence in my life. Moses went up there and got the Ten Commandments, 30 days, you know, he was with God, and he stayed with God for that many days, you know, and his face just glowed because he had been with God. God, he was in the presence of God so much that the presence of God was in him. Now, he put on a veil, and he wore that veil to keep his face from shining because the people could not look upon him without having that veil over his face. But we know that the veil finally, the glow finally shed, and it got dimmer and dimmer. And it's sad that Moses lost the glow and it faded, but he continued to wear the veil to keep people from knowing that the glow was gone. Now, I know that many times in our lives, and in my life too, that I'm a Christian, I mean, when God was real to you, I mean, it just, he was real on your life. It might when you got saved, it might be a time of sickness, might be a time of death, the family. I mean, the presence of God was real. And that is the greatest thing, knowing the presence of God is right with you. The glow of God, the presence of God. But then you see, after the glow is gone, we continuously wear a veil. And we try to fool a lot of people, you know, the veil is gone. You see, a lot of times maybe it might be a preacher that's wearing the veil. It might be a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or someone else hiding behind the veil. And has a lot of time people hide behind the veil whenever they say, I don't have time to come to church. You're hiding behind the veil. There's no glow there. You may be Christian, go to heaven, eternal security and all this stuff, but you say, I don't have time. If you don't have time, your glow's gone. You got a veil on, the glow's gone if you're too busy. Wednesday night, I mean, if you ain't got time to go Wednesday night, you know the veil's gone. I know that people have to work. I'm not talking about those that can't come. I'm talking about those that will not come, that can come. Thank God I want to come. And if you don't want to come, there's something wrong with your wanter. You know that? And a lot of times we can't come, and a lot of times we're not able to come. You know what? God knows all about that. I don't know when you work, when you don't work, how you feel, how you don't feel. It ain't my business to know. I know how I feel. And sometimes I don't feel like coming. But you see, the times that we do feel like coming, times that we should come, we don't come. Whether Sunday morning, Sunday school, whatever time it might be. There's a glow that we have. The glow's gone. Whenever we try to claim there's some avail and we ought to be there. Do you want it back? If you do, you want a revival. If you want the glow back in your life, you want revival. Pleasant Hill, for a church, for a family, for a nation. Because you know, there's some steps that we need to do. The first thing that they done and Moses done was this must be determination. Now, there's a glow missing. If you want the presence of God, this is different than anything else you'll ever experience in the presence of God being real to you. For his life, for him to be manifested in your life, there's a difference in just a plain, ordinary Christian than a Christian to have the presence of God, the glow of God upon his life, upon her life. There must be determination. God said, I'll make you a promise and I'm going to keep it for you and to all your seed, but I'm not going to go with you. And then, you know what the people said when they heard that? They mourned. But if God don't go with us, we've had it. In here, this church this morning, if we don't present ourselves, bring glory to God, if we don't worship God, if you haven't brought something with you, if God's not in our midst, we're just making a bunch of noise today. We must have the presence of God in our life. It's a sad thing. Without the Lord, what good was the land, Moses was saying, without the Lord? Without the Lord, what good is the victor without the victor? Without the Lord, what good is the blessings without the blesser? What good is the gift without the giver? What good is it? What good if you have all these riches today? What good is it if you have everything, your family doing good, all that, without Jesus Christ, without the Lord manifest his presence on you? What good is it? You see, there's a peace that passes all understanding that the world cannot know. And when you get that peace, sometimes people have told me, it's sick with all type of disease. Maybe they fix to leave this earth with a sickness. And they say, I got peace. You know what they're saying? I'm experiencing the manifestation of the Lord God in my life right now. That's what God wants us to do here this morning. Every day, every hour. In verses 14 and 15, the same chapter, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up. Moses said, if you don't go with us, you don't carry your presence with us, I don't want to go. I'm not going. What's it good to us? You know, for us today as a church, for the United States, for a Christian, heaven, you said, you'll see me through. God will see you through heaven. If you say today, God is going to see you through. Send an angel? No, I want the presence of the Lord. Many would settle. Many people will settle today. They say, I'm saved, and they will settle. Knowing you're going to heaven? Yep, no, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. But they do not have the manifestation, the presence of the Lord in their life. And they're satisfied without it. Don't do it. Moses said, I'm not going. Don't do it. Don't be satisfied in your Christian life just knowing that you're saved. Oh man, if you know you're saved, well, that's it. There's more to it than that. Having the manifest presence of God in our life. Heaven, yes, we're going to be there, but the presence, the conscience of God's presence in our life. You know, it's like two people that gets married. Husband said, listen, we get married, and they get married. And husband said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're not going to live together. I'm going to pay for your house rent. I'm going to buy your groceries. I'll mow your grass. I'll take care of you. But we're going to live separated lives. We are not living together. Would that be a marriage or a mockery? The same way Christian is today. Say, Lord, I know that you saved me. Lord, I know that I'm going to heaven. But hands off of my life, I have no dealings with you. I have no presence of God in my life whatsoever. Nothing that calls me to worship and come and to serve and have God upon my life today. That's the kind of relationship that many people have today that's Christians. You see, and that's a lot of time the life of a church. We just come and we meet. Did you bring your worship with you today? Did you bring your worship? There must be determination. If you're going to be a growing and a glowing Christian, there must be determination. And it show up with your church activities. When Christ is real and the presence of God is real on your life, you know what will happen? You will show up at God's church, wherever it might be that God has called you to go. You will show up. There won't be no ifs and but about it. It'll be in that commitment. There'll be a glow. I'm going to tell you, and people used to come and they had to glow. They would come, man. They would come on Wednesday night, and some people teach Sunday school. They're not teaching Sunday school. They're not coming now as they used to come. Their attendance is down. What happened? The glow's gone. The glow's gone. There must be preparation. In chapter 34, 1 and 2, there must be preparation. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like the first one, because he broke the first one. And I will write upon the table of the word that were in the first table, which thou brokest, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain. Moses, get ready. There must be preparation. Do you want a blessing this morning? Are you satisfied with your Christian life? Are you saved? You're going to heaven? Yeah. You got eternal security? Yeah. Is that all it takes to satisfy a Christian? That's all it takes to satisfy you today? If it is, your glow's gone. But if you want that glow back, I'm going to say there must be determination, and you know that must be preparation as Moses had here in these verses of Scripture I just read. They must be. Moses, he said, you know, he broke the first one. He found out what they was doing, broke the first one. He said, now come up and I'll give you two more tablets. He says, be ready in the morning. And it says, you know what? Do you want a blessing? He likes saying before you got to church this morning. Get ready for a blessing this morning. Now, I'll tell you, there's a lot of Christians could be here today. It's members of this church is not here. They're not ready for a blessing of the Lord. They did not make preparation. They might make determination to be where God wanted them to be at. And they were not ready to receive a blessing. It says, get ready, do something about it. He had to hew two more tables of stone to go up that mountain and get ready for a blessing. Now, sometimes, you know, getting up on Sunday morning, that's hewing out stones, getting up and getting the family ready to come to church. That's a blessing, you know. That's hewing out those stones. Get ready for a blessing. God does business for those it means business. God does business for those. If you don't mean business, God's not going to do business with you. You know, it's always up to us. Be ready for a blessing. There's two kings in the Old Testament I like to read you in 2 Chronicles 12 and 14, Rehoboam. Now, Rehoboam has a sin that I talked to you about Wednesday night about. Rehoboam, now it says, and he did evil. And this is why he done evil according to the scriptures. because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. What did he do bad? Didn't say he done anything bad except he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Remember I told you Wednesday night? It's a Christian do not do that makes the problem. What God has called you to do, what you're supposed to be doing and you're not doing. We look at our family, we look at other people that's doing things they should not be doing, and say, oh, look what they've done. Look what they're doing. And you're not doing what you should do is just as bad or worse than doing what they are doing, and they ought not to do it. What are you doing? God's called you to do something, and you're not doing it. Each and for every one of us here this hour. And then, in 2 Chronicles 19 and 3, Jehoshaphat. And here's what he said about Jehoshaphat. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, tore down all the places they worship idols. Then what he said, and has prepared thy heart to seek the Lord. Did you prepare your heart to seek the Lord? This is clear as I can tell you this day. The reason our church is not full of members that's saved, that they should be here and should be here all the time, is these two kings represent exactly what's wrong with Christians today. Those don't want to come, they have not prepared their heart. And those that have are preparing their heart for a blessing and are here when they can be here. That's the two things, God, the presence of God in their life. Prepare their heart to seek God. Every time that we should. Do you know when you need to prepare for Wednesday night? Monday morning. Do you know when you ought to prepare for Sunday? Monday morning. You need to prepare ahead of time. Don't set no schedules for Wednesdays. Don't set no schedule for things you ought to be doing or places you ought to go on Wednesday. The same thing for Sunday morning, Sunday night. If you mean business with God. If you want to seek a blessing. You see, that's directly up to you. The reason God's not present in the life of many people today is because they do not seek him. There must be determination. There must be preparation. There also must be isolation. In this chapter 34 in verse 3 it says, and no man shall come up with thee when you go up on the mountain Moses, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mountain. Neither let the flock nor the herd feed before that mountain. Get along. Let no man come with you, just me and you. You got to get along with God. This past week, how much time did you spend just you and God? How much time did you spend this past week you and God? You know, people complain and they criticize. And Moses had over 2 million people to pastor. He had a big church. But you see, he said, get away, Moses. And they complain and they grumble and complain and get along. And just get along by yourself, because he needed to get along because he was going to intercede for these people. You see, the best time that me and Brother Marshall spends is not when we're here in this pulpit with you. The best time we spend is when we're talking to God about you in our study time. Your Sunday school teachers, it's not the best time when you stand up before that class and speaking to them about God. It's when you should be studying your Sunday school lesson by yourself and you're talking to God about your Sunday school class. That's the best time. That's what Moses was doing. He got up by himself and spending time with God. You see, I'm not available all the time. Brother Marshall's not available all the time. And I know in larger churches, the pastor's not available all the time. And if we was available all the time, every time anybody called for everything that everybody needed, when we got to be available for everything, if we was available, we wouldn't be very good when we was available. Y'all understand that? We can't be everywhere all the time. You know, Abraham was available. He got along by himself. And that's when God gave him the great covenant, the blessing of all nations through Isaac. Daniel was alone with God whenever God gave him the end times that we study in the book of Daniel. Paul was alone with God when he wrote most of the New Testament. Peter was along with God on the rooftop with Cornelius whenever he got saved. Paul and Peter, John the Revelator was along the Isle of Patmos whenever he wrote the book of Revelation. Moses was in the wilderness. He got along with God here, intercession for God's people. Jesus Christ come apart and come along that he might be able to comment the things that God had for you and I to understand today. You see, they must be isolation. There must be expectation. When Moses went upon that mountain, in verse 4 through 7, good gracious. Verse 4 through 7, he took these two tablets of stones and laid it the first time. He stood there before him and he proclaimed all the thing and he kept all this thing that God had given him. He expected to get something. Now, verses 4 through 7, Moses expected to get something from God whenever he went up on that mountain. Now, you come this morning, did you expect to get something from God? When you come to your Sunday school class, was you expecting to get something when you come to your Sunday school class? Was you? Was you expecting to get something this morning when you came? Moses was expecting to get something, and he got a revelation from God. I'm going to tell you, whenever I start studying the Bible in my study, I got notebooks and pads everywhere, and I don't never sit down. And also when I'm listening to my CDs and everything on my radio and I'm driving around, I've always got a piece of paper in my pocket. I try to, and you know what? And something come up, and I jot that thing down. Because you know why? The weakest ink is better than the best memory, because I will forget it. You go to study, I'm going to tell you, come to church, you ought to bring something right with. You come to Sunday school class, you ought to bring something right with. You ought to take notes when God speaks to you, because you can't tell me if you're a saved person and God's not speaking to you right now about something. It might be nothing to do with my sermon, but God's speaking to you about something. You know, it might be a salvation. It might be something I do or don't do in my life, I should or should not be doing, but God is speaking to you. That is the amazing of preaching of the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is teaching you and preaching to you right now. I'm not doing it. The Holy Spirit and the power of God is doing it to you. Be ready when you come to church. Expect God to give you something. When it gets dry, we pray for rain. We come to church and pray for rain. We ought to bring an umbrella. When you get ready, expect a blessing, you're going to bring something to get that blessing in. Bring your paper and pencil. Read it through. Think it out. Pray it in. Write it down. I'm going to tell you, live it out and then pass it on. That's what visitation is all about. If God gives you something, help give it to somebody. You know, that's exactly what the Sunday school teachers are doing. God has given them something, and he's giving it to you. They pass it on. That's what I'm doing in my study, and Brother Marshall doing in his study. Whenever we go to study, God gives us something. You know what I'm doing to you this morning? I pass it on to you. You should do the same thing to people that you meet every day. You ought to pass it on to them what God has given you. Don't you tell me if you're seeking God. Don't you tell me, you know, if you're seeking God's presence in your life that he won't give you something. They must be adoration. Verse 8 of this same chapter. And Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshipped. Adoration. He worshipped. That is adoration, basis of truth to worship. James says we receive the word with meekness. Humble ourselves. Welcome the word of God. Luke 10 and verse 21 says, in the hour Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Lord, Lord of heaven and earth. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. Boy, you got to humble yourself to get something. If you don't humble your heart down, you're not going to receive nothing. If you don't humble yourself, you're not going to receive anything. If you come as a know-it-all in a Sunday school class, it don't matter in a service, if you come as a know-it-all, you're not going to receive much. We humble ourselves before the Lord and we worship the Lord and receive much. They must be intercessions already. Adoration is worship, and then there must be intercession. In verse 9, it said, and he said, if thou have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among them, among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquities and our sin, and take us of thy inheritance, for thy inheritance. Praying for others. You know, that's what we do on Wednesday night. Have you ever been sick and you asked this church to pray for you? You ever been on our prayer list, or your family ever been on our prayer list? You know what we do? It's amazing on Wednesday night. We got a bunch of stretchers and hospital beds and we begin to roll them down the aisle here on Wednesday night. They be rolled all over the place, hospital beds, some of them wheelchairs and hospital bed. And Sometimes, you know, there's coffins. Of course, we pray for those that's lost and already done gone be with the Lord and their family. We've got a bunch of them. We pray for them. All type of sickness of families. Bring all families in. There's a bunch of family here today. You know what? Then we call their names out. Isn't it something that we believe in prayer, and then our prayer attendance on Wednesday night is so low? But you get in condition that you want your name on the prayer list and you want this church to pray for you, but you won't come. And you won't. It's a job getting them people down the aisle here on all those hospital beds and all these sick. It's hard to get all these people. You've been there, but you see, you don't want to come and help us. But when you're sick, you know, you're going to want your hospital bed rolled down here. You're going to want that. You got a problem in your family, and don't look like you're going, you just broke your heart, and you want somebody to get around you, but you won't come help nobody else. But you won't come help us. You see, the more people we have here on Wednesday night, the more prayer offer, the more power we have with God. It's God. It's God. Help us. It says, you know, we need help. Lord, he says, we need help. You say, well, you know, I've got to work. Well, you don't work every Wednesday. Hey, come time to be back. Well, you know what? I don't feel good. We got a 94-year-old lady that comes every Wednesday night. Shame on you. Say you sick and you don't feel like it. Miss Andy, we appreciate you. Shame on you for saying you sick, don't feel like coming with a 94-year-old lady that comes up and down those steps and some as old as just about it is. I'm telling you. Don't that make you feel good? Don't that make you feel, I like my job. Don't that make you feel so good? Help us. God has given each of us assignment as a Christian to pray. I have a prayer list that I pray every morning. I call their names out every morning. That's my assignment. I can't pray for everybody, don't even try it. But I have an assignment for prayer. To pray regularly. Did you know if you're a person and someone's praying for you on a regular basis, did you know what? You are a very, very blessed person. You are a very, very blessed person. And there's people in here that's prayed for every day, every day, every day. That is your assignment. That is your assignment. Thank you, Lord. They must be observation in verse 10 and verse 11. And he said, behold, I will make a covenant for all thy people. I will do marvelous such as have not been done in all the earth, nor to any nation. And all people among which thou art shall see the works of the Lord. And it is a terrible thing that I will do unto thee. That terrible thing means the people around them are going to be shocked with the power is upon their lives. He said, observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I will drive out all the peoples in that land before you. Listen, terrible thing. That means the power and the world is just not going to understand the power that Christians have today if we have the presence of God in our life. Drive out all those people. I'll do this under one thing. If you will obey. You want the presence of God in your life? You want God to be real? You know what he said? You got to obey me. You got to obey me. Isn't that something? You know, because you can have this determination, preparation, isolation, expectation, adoration, and intercession. But if you do not live these out, what God will show and tell you, none of these things will work unless you have all of those and obey the Lord. You can't claim the promises without obeying the command. You know, this Bible is full of promises to you and I as a Christian today. You cannot claim these promises without obeying his commands. You cannot. The reason God's not real to many people today, John 14 and 21 says, He that have my commandment and keepeth them, he is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. As we sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus. And if I'm not keeping his commandment, I'm singing a lie. I'm singing a lie. Oh, how I love Jesus." He said, "If you will obey, I will manifest myself to thee." Lord God, you want me to be real to you, he says. You want me to be real to you here this morning, you saved person here or not saved person. You want God to be real to you this morning? Do you really want God to be real? Well, he says, you know why I'm not real to you this morning? Because you do not love me. How do you know I don't love you? Because you not keep my commandment. Transformation. Moses' face shone. He spent much time with the Lord and reflect his glory. We got some people that spend a lot of time with God, and I can see the glory in their face. You know, I have a fireplace or a heater, you know, and I got an old fire poker, and I poke that fire around, you know, and you know what? I take it out, you know, it won't hardly be hot. It might burn your hand a little bit, it'll be a little bit warm. But you know, I can leave that fire poker in that fire for a pretty good while. You know what'll happen? It'll get red. The fire poker is in the fire, and then the fire gets in the fire poker. If you spend time with God, you know what'll happen? God'll get in your life. You see the presence of God in your life. And I'm going to tell you what, everybody's going to know the difference. When you spend time with God, the presence of God, I'm going to tell you, Old Testament and New Testament. This is all the Old Testament. Let me tell you a verse of Scripture 2 in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians 3, 7 and 8. "But if the manifestation of death," talking about these old tables of stone written and engraved in stone, "was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not stand fast behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which the glory was to be done away, faded away, how shall not the administration of the Spirit be rather glorious?" Talking about us. How should it be more glorious today? It faded away. It brought death because they didn't keep the commandment. Now look for it says for us today in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord has changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. John 4 and 23 said, "For the hour is coming now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Why does God want us to worship him? Why does God want us to worship him? For what it does to God? No. All of our worship of all the people of the world will not change the glory of God, will not add not one thing to God. God is unchangeable. All of our worship will not change God, not one little bit. Why does he want us to come and worship him? Why? If it won't change him. Why? Because of what worship will do for us. Not what worship will do for God. He don't need you and he don't need me. He'll never change. We need God. He wants you to worship him for what worship will do for you. What will it do for you? It'll change us to his image. We become like what we spend time with, no matter what it is. No matter what it is, we become what we spend time with. No matter what type of idol it might be, or you spend with God, you become what you spend most time with. If it's a worldly thing, you become like the world. If you don't have time for God, you have time for the world. Well, that's your God. That's what you spend more time with. God says, if you want really to have the manifestation and presence of God in your life, you spend time with me and you obey me. That is a very simple thing that he has told us to do. It will change your life. It will change your family. It will change this church. It will change our nation. If we would just do this little simple thing. Are you saved here today? Do you have the Spirit of God living in your life? If you're not, you're not saved. You don't have the Spirit of God, because that comes at salvation. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ, you are a lost person. You'll never have the manifestation of the presence of God in your life if you're not saved. But after you are saved, as I said Wednesday night, you see you are baptized with the Spirit of God. And that won't never leave you. But the filling of the Spirit leaves you. And that is the manifestation of the presence of God, is a filling of the Spirit of God. And it will leave you. And then there are certain things that we must do and must be to bring that Spirit of God into our life and the manifestation of the presence of God in our life. It will change you. There'll be a change that you never understood before. As I said, you know what? God works with you and works with me, and thank God He's still working on me and He's still working on you. But it may take for me that last day I have here on this earth. It may take that last hour I have here on this earth to understand the presence of God in my life is all I really need. That's all that you really need. It will carry you wherever else you need to go, the presence of God. As we come to sing the song of invitation, do you have the presence of God? Do you want the presence of God? Do you want a blessing? Are you here today and you need to be saved? You need to walk this aisle this morning right now and start obeying, because you say, do you love the Lord? Are you here today? And you say, I love Jesus Christ. If you say you love Jesus Christ, you'll be willing to walk out and let the world know that I love Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, I love Jesus Christ. Is there a person here today? Are you saved? Do you want the presence of God in your life? If you do, you have to obey what God says you need to obey. We're just satisfied. We're just born again. We're just people headed for heaven. We're just satisfied to live that way. If that's all that it takes to satisfy you, go ahead. Moses said, I'm not going to settle for it. I don't want you to send an angel of God. I want your presence with me. Do you want the presence of God? You know, it all depends on what you want. God's there for you. Every one of us is different. If we stand and sing this song here.